Guardians of the Geekery, episode 230. Starnslord here with you. And on this thrilling episode, we review the Netflix original film, Extinction. Here's the synopsis, folks. Plagued by dreams of an alien invasion, a family man faces his worst nightmare when an extraterrestrial force begins exterminating Earth's inhabitants. Holy moly. Cast, pretty cool. Michael Pena, who was hilarious in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Spoiler alert, he's not hilarious at all in this. Lizzie Kaplan, Israel Brizard, and directed by Ben Young. So anyway, definitely check it out. Listen to us. It's the Guardians of the Geekery reviewing this. We do have spoilers in here for you. I don't think we leave too much unturned. So if you're just curious how it went, this is definitely the podcast for you, and see if it's worth your time. Definitely. And this movie, if you do want to watch it, hour and a half after you listen to our sizzling review, we're joined by Jessica from Swordwind Historical Swordsmanship. Check them out on episode 229. And Swordwind, I love their motto here, modern people, medieval martial arts. Pretty badass. All right, so check it out, definitely. And just want to give another quick shout out to Chris Jones from Nerd Bliss Podcast. Check them out on all of the awesome iTunes and other fine podcast outlets, as well as their Patreon account, Nerd Bliss. Check them out. Support them if you will. We do, so woohoo. But Chris Jones does a fantastic job reimagining our intro, my dream intro, and outro for the podcast, Guardians of the Geekery Podcast, which is super Friends themed. He does a fantastic Ted Knight impression, who Ted Knight was the man back in the day, the huge booming voice, and Chris gets that perfect. So anyway, thanks again, Chris. Definitely appreciate you. Now hold on and see if you can survive Extinction.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
What are we reviewing?
Extinction.
What the hell is that?
Netflix original movie.
Ooh, wow. And Jessica is joining us.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Swordwind.
Swordwind.org.
Swordwind.
Yeah.
Swordwind. Yes.
I'm going to do like tranquil massage, tranquility life massage from like Mikey's show.
Swordwind. If you want to know all about Swordwind, listen to our last podcast.
Yes. It's not really Stormwind. No. It's Swordwind.
And it's really interesting.
So it is.
Yeah. We talk a lot about swords.
Yeah. Swords. Okay.
But we all watched Extinction.
Yes. We did.
On Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the star was and he was a supporting actor in Ant-Man and the Wasp, which we reviewed a while back. Much different role, I would say.
Much different role.
Very different.
Very different. And I love Michael Pena, and as much as I love Luis, who I seriously want Marvel to give him truth serum in every Marvel movie from now on. But it was nice to see him do something different.
Yeah. And who plays Luke Cage? He's in this as well.
Mike Coulter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
And that's all we've got time for.
Where have I seen Lizzie Kaplan before?
I can't Party Down.
That's probably not it.
No, not it.
That seems like a show you would like. So if you never watched that, watch that. It's amazing.
I know. I kept confusing her.
She was in Master of Sex on Showtime.
That's where I've seen her. Yeah. Okay. I kept confusing her with Zooey Deschanel. And I'm like, that's not Zooey Deschanel.
You know what is so funny that you say that? Because I watched the movie with a friend of ours. And I was like, the thing that annoys me about Lindsay Kaplan is she's one of those actresses that you can tell she thinks she's super cute. And I was like, it kind of reminds me of Zooey Deschanel. And I'm like, but Zooey Deschanel really is cute.
I was going to say, yeah, Zooey's more.
Lindsay Kaplan, you know, whatever. You can go home.
She's not that bad.
No, she's fine. She's fine.
So basic plot of the story.
And by the way, we're spoiling everything for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen
Extinction, going for the jugular.
We're going to spoil it.
Yes.
So the basic plot of the story is that Michael Peña's character, Peter, is having nightmares. And he's having daymares. I mean, he's just having these episodes. He's having mares. He's having episodes where he's seeing this invasion of Earth, and he's seeing these aliens, and he's seeing his hands covered with blood, and he's seeing warfare and all sorts of stuff. And he keeps going through where, like, he'll have an episode at work where he'll, like, pass out at work, and then he wakes up and it's, like, hours later. Or, you know, and he's told his family that he would take them out for a special dinner, and then they weren't there. Or, you know, he'd be trying to sleep and all of a sudden it would happen. And or he'd be trying to work. He's an engineer, but it's more like a civil engineer where he's building things in a warehouse, and something would explode or something because he wasn't paying attention because he was having these nightmares. Mm-hmm. And he goes to a wellness center where they are going to wipe his memory.
Well, he doesn't know that. He thinks he's just going to talk to a doctor.
But
until the guy in the waiting room
tells him that's what's going on. That's what they're going to do, is they're going to help him get rid of the nightmares. And the guy says, no, those aren't nightmares. They're real. But the guy, Chris, goes ahead.
Yeah.
And gets his memory wiped anyway because he can't handle the pressure. But Peter decides not to do it. And then he goes outside and an alien invasion happens. Only it's not what it seems.
Not what it seems. Dun, 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 dun. There's a twist.
So this is a 90-minute movie. Matt and I started watching it Monday night, right before So You Think You Can Dance. So, of course, we had to stop and pause.
And we were scared.
But first. Also, we were scared. That first 30 minutes is really tense because you think about it. What happens if the end of the world is coming and you're in a high-rise building with elevators and you're literally hundreds, you know, 10 or 15 or stories high or whatever, and, you know, things are attacking you from the air and just killing hundreds of people willy-nilly.
Just shooting through the windows at everybody.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of these high-rises with the huge windows, you know, which is part of the benefits, as you can see this beautiful view, but everybody can see in as well.
Well, I think it'd be scary if I could actually see anything in this damn film, because for the first half of it, I couldn't see anything. It was so dark. It was filmed so dark. I was actually having trouble. I adjusted my contrast of my TV 3 times.
Mm. Mm. Now, you do have eyesight issues. So
I do. I am, you know, blind. But
I think
I get why, because, you know, it was supposed to be nighttime and everything. But it was actually hampering my enjoyment of the film because I was like, I kind of want to see what is going on.
Well, but also, too, I think it goes in the X-Files rule of filming, which is we don't have a lot of budget. Exactly. So if it's dark, we don't have to make everything picture perfect.
Exactly. And I knew that was part of the, you know, it's the whole nighttime or rain. If you're watching a monster or an alien film and it's nighttime all the time or it's raining all the time, they had trouble with the special effects. But here, it seemed like most of the special effects were actual, there was no CGI.
Bullshit. Yeah. At that end, when they were on a train.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. But that...
It was again, pretty minimal CGI.
It was minimal CGI.
It was terrible. Noticeable.
Yeah. But that was at the very end, and it was light. It was daytime.
Yeah.
Mm. But during the actual battle, these are actually people in suits. So it was just kind of like, okay... I wish I could see this. And there's like the moment where the mom, like, here's a flashlight, don't turn it on. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't want to see anything.
Well, even the light that they had on, they had it going against the wall and bouncing back, so it wouldn't be so visible from the window.
But. So that was part of my issue with the film, was just it was filmed so dark. I thought it was actually quite intense.
It really was.
But yeah. And I didn't mind the story so much, although it is one of those stories where the more I think about it, the more I think, well, wait a minute, that doesn't quite work, does it?
I did like the the spaceships are very War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Type of the weird little kind of spidery looking thing. And
should we just get into the twist? Can we? Okay.
Yeah.
We can go. So into the twist is that Peter and his wife and his two little girls are in fact androids or cyborgs synthetic people.
Everybody is.
Yeah. Everybody that is on Earth now.
Yeah.
That is on Earth now because the invading forces are actually humans
that have been. 50 years ago.
50 years ago.
They were pushed off the Earth.
Yeah, they were pushed off the Earth because that was the war that he was remembering.
And now they're Martians.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, humans have become Martians, and the Martians have decided that they want to take back Earth from the synthetics that their grandparents made.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the costumes looked very kind of buggy looking. I really thought there was going to be a bug in there.
Whenever they were on there, there was like a little chittering noises.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they're insect type creatures. But then, you know, he removes the helmet of one and is actually just a guy.
Yeah. So the key is there's one guy who is originally it's all air warfare. They're in the planes or they're in the ships and they're shooting people, but then the ground force comes in, and when the ground force comes in, their little daughter Hannah, and I have something to say about that, or Lucy, their little daughter Lucy is hiding under the table because she went back out to find her stuffed monkey.
You just knew that monkey was going to talk.
Yep. And and when he gets underneath, rather than just killing her, it's almost like that alien moment where he juts his head forward. And he's looking at her, but you can't tell because it's the visor and everything. And he's looking at her, and he's getting really close, and she's getting really scared. And then the parents come out and start beating on it. But really, that individual, Miles, is looking at it because he didn't realize that there was children and families. He'd just been told that they were robots, and he didn't understand.
Which was my biggest question at the end of this. Why would you have synthetic children? Because
that bothered me too.
Yeah, when they're showing the flashback of the actual initial war, it's obvious the synthetics were doing the menial tasks. Both Peter and his wife were custodials,
right?
And it wasn't until they kicked all the humans off that they started doing like construction and engineering and stuff. So it's obviously created the synths to do the menial tasks. Why would you create a synthetic child?
Because the parents were human. So it could have been but in my opinion, you can disagree with me, but let me state my opinion first. And I justified it in my head that the two parents were killed and the two little girls that were robots were surrogate children for them. And there may have been a way for them to upgrade, because the kids were in the zone crying and said they just killed them because they were human. And then, you know, the Peter and his wife, Alice. Peter and his wife, Alice, take them. And then when their minds are wiped, they are replaced with the thing that they are a family. So I've kind of felt like that was it, or that, you know, it could have been that there was a playmate or an assistant. You know, there'd be a number of reasons why a child might be of interest to somebody.
It just, yeah, to me, they seem to be, there wasn't a whole lot of children. It just didn't make sense why they would make, you know, the synthetic children if they were making synthetics to do these menial tasks. That was kind of, I actually think the story would have worked a little bit better in the long run if the children had actually been human.
Well,
I thought that was going to happen. Yeah.
That it would have been a really recent war, and that the kids had just been like leftover humans and that had been raised among these synthetics. That's where I thought they were going.
That's what I thought they were going too. And then, you know, they did the whole, you know, hand his face.
But remember, there was that billboard where it was like, laugh like they cry and whatever, laugh like real children.
They're advertising the children.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I think too, you started to see like in the flashbacks, you had like the news things like, so it was like, they started building these things. They started developing their own sentience beyond the menial task and feelings. And I think
it's the whole thing.
Yeah, they didn't want it to happen, but it happened. And then, you know, we became fearful and attacked.
So we'll tell you, say, before the spoiler, before we knew that they were synths, I thought it was really, because I was like, okay, they actually, in the demolition of the building as the force happens, there is a shot of Hannah and Lucy's name on a sign. They're back at the apartment because it's like Hannah. It was like one of those billboard like light up mm-hmm. signs for little kids to have in their room. And I was like, oh, Hannah and Lucy are such weird names for kids. I mean, they're not normal names. I mean, you know, I have a friend named Hannah and stuff like that, but it's not a name that you would necessarily see a lot. And then I was like, oh, and the wife's name is Alice. I'm like, H-A-L, Hal, like the original computer. And I was like, I don't know if they meant to do that or not. But then there was the movie Lucy, which was about somebody who, you know,
was augmented.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
So, yeah, but I was just like, and then like the original robot on the Jetsons was Alice. And I'm like, there's got to be somebody that's Hannah too. Hannah, there was that Hannah that was the little girl.
Well, that was, yeah, she was just a trained killer though.
But I know, but I mean like, I'm like, but they're all like, but they were all taught to be automatons. You know, Lucy becomes an automata because of her augmented. And then, but I was like, there's probably something there. So I just thought that was interesting.
I thought
it could have been totally my thing, but I was like, isn't it interesting? It spells out Hal.
I thought Alice might have been a play where she couldn't see through the looking glass. It was her husband who could see and was getting the visions. And she was kind of blind to the whole.
Very cool. Thing, but, yeah.
I just laugh. You say Hannah's an unusual name, and then I know my family is like, yeah, we have a Sookie.
Yeah. I know.
We just have an Aridin.
But I mean, like, non-geek families don't typically, that's not typically a name. I know some of the older names have been coming back, but it's just, you know, here we are in this new age kind of world, which you can tell before the spoiler. And Hannah and Alice and Lucy are older names to me, so.
And they dressed very, like, 50s housewifey. Well, all the people were very conservatively dressed.
They all had the same outfits on. Now, you don't notice that at first because it's all happening real time. But when you look back at Peter and Alice's original outfits, they were very similar.
Yeah, it's all variations on the same
uniforms
they were wearing before.
Yeah.
I think it was most notable when you see their friends, the neighbors, and the wife has like a 50s hairdo and like a wool dress on or whatever. And so it was just kind of like, well, okay, they're hipsters at first. But then eventually it was like, okay, well, if we're thinking, let's just say that this is taking place now, then it would have been, you know, well, not the 50s, but, you know.
Yeah. Well,
and not too far.
And like with Peter, because even though he was in engineering, it was more of a custodial kind of engineering. He was going around and fixing things. Yeah. The fact that he had on the light green shirt and the green pants at first, I was like, okay, he's more a custodial role. And the fact that, quite frankly, he is a person of color, you know, it was like, okay. You know, I mean, not that that's what you want to think, but then when you find out that they're all custodial and that's the robot image they made him into, that was kind of interesting. So I was like, oh, it's interesting. But anyway, so we ended up watching the second hour because the first 30 minutes we watched on Monday and the second hour we were like, okay, we watched it right at like 6:10 when I walked in the door while it was still light out. But then it started to be less scary because you started to unravel the plot a little bit more and get a little more elucidated about what was happening. So, so thoughts? Yeah. Tiffles, I know you have things to say.
Because
you were like, BS about the CGI.
Well,
at the end.
We laughed at how terrible that was. It was like Sim City or something. Like it was, and maybe not even CGI, but like a computer generated. It was very pretty. Of course, we immediately were like, maybe it's Canada because we love Canada, my friend and I. But it was just sort of like we were laughing at how bad it was. But. The movie was an hour and a half. I felt it was an hour and 25 minutes too long. I wish the movie was extinct. I hated it. Really? And mainly because of Michael Pena.
Really?
He was terrible.
Huh.
In my opinion, he was his acting was absolutely awful. He was super stiff. Like, you know, like as Joey mentioned, you know, like he missed out on taking his daughters to something. I forget what it was. He comes home and the one little girl's laying on the sofa and he like stiffly sits down like 3 feet away from her and is like, I'm sorry. And it's like there was no touching the little girl. There was no hugging her. Like the mom. And so, when we find out that, okay, he's a synthetic, it's like, okay, well, maybe this was just a choice. But then the dad from the other family from the beginning of the movie was way more interesting. I was like, the movie should be about him. He should be the hero because he was way better. Mm-hmm. But the mom was very, you know, Lizzie Kaplan was all over the kids, you know what I mean? Not in a weird way, but like in a motherly way, she was maternal. The other family seemed very real. He right. was like, the guy that just got out of jail and found out he had kids kind of thing. He was just completely stiff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I loved him from Ant-Man, you know, I mean, I like him generally, but I was just like, is this going to get better with his acting? And I thought it was just unbelievably terrible, mainly because of him, because he's in every scene. So I
looked at it as more of a choice that he was making as an actor, because he was having what he thought were these precog dreams, mm-hmm. which were really the past seeping through, trying to get out.
And he thought he wasn't sleeping at all.
Yeah. And so, who knows if they even need to sleep.
Apparently he'd been working a lot for like months leading up to that. So maybe he just felt disconnected from his kids. So he wasn't as touchy feely with them. Could have just been bad acting.
He was robotic.
Too,
he was like, what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe that was the choice. And then I'm like, but it wasn't consistent with the rest of the synthetics. Although those kids, I wanted to murder. especially the one that wouldn't fucking stop crying. It's like, come on, girl. And of course, they're always loud when they shouldn't be. It's like, and it's like, you're old enough to understand the concept of hiding, right? Or whatever. When the movie ended, I was like, I'm always the naysayer. Every single podcast, I'm always the person that's like, I did not like this, and I wanted so much to like it. I felt a little vindicated that our friend also hated it. It had good suspense. I thought that the twist was kind of interesting. So it wasn't, I guess, completely lost. I'll give it 5 minutes for that.
Well, to go on another point about hiding, I guess, one thing that stuck out to me in the film is when, after they've escaped the high rise and they're trying to get to the factory, and they knock on the factory doors, and the factory doors open, and there's these giant bright lights into the darkness. And then they have this really long conversation with everybody outside with these lights on in complete darkness when everyone's supposed to be hiding.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, they're coming. Let's get everybody get inside. Oh, no, we're being attacked at our secret, super secret base that we've just lit up like a beacon.
That's it. We thought exactly really the same thing. We commented on that too. We're like, okay.
I was like, that seemed really, really odd to do that and then just be surprised that now the enemy's coming and attacking us and killing everybody.
And how they saw it, I don't know, because it was like, darkness. Oh, okay. There's a lot of weird choices.
Why not be stealthier about that? That made no sense at all.
I did. The one thing that I had a huge issue with was the train at the end, when they missed the train and then they yelled out over the sound of the loud train, wait, and they stopped it.
I'm assuming that somebody was keeping a lookout in the back of the train for them, just in case.
Yeah, see, we're so kind. We, make up the story.
I wanted them to be left behind. I was like, I want them dead. That's how much I hate them.
With the train scene, I also thought it was weird that they would, stop the train and then let the little kids run off the train. Let the parents get on the train. The train keeps moving.
Yeah, that was
obviously, they're being chased by something.
They're right on the other side of the door.
Get on the train.
And then they have this long reunion in the hallway, and then they all get in the train. And
get on the train first. Hugs and kiss next, okay?
It makes so much more sense.
Synthetics apparently aren't that intelligent.
I didn't hate it. I can't say I hated it.
I didn't hate it either.
I did have issues with the way it was filmed, because I just felt that the battle scene in the high rise was way too dark, and you just couldn't. I couldn't see anything, and that kind of bugged the crap out of me for a while. And I couldn't get over. It's like, why do you have children? Why? I didn't. And there was the Newt factor. Aliens is a really great film, except for Newt, because every 5 seconds she's screaming. And it's like, can you just stop screaming for 30 seconds, kid? And that just wears on me whenever they have just this little girl whose main function is to scream. And to have a little monkey that you knew was going to say something and give her position away. Because he fixed the voice.
But I think, but just to add on to this too, is like, so the quote unquote alien slash human, he, you know, doesn't hurt the little girl, but he gets beaten up and the family takes his gun and he starts tracking the gun. But like, immediately is like super nice to them, but it was coming to kill. And I get that the children put him off his game a little bit, but like to go the other direction of like, I can save your wife.
You actually, you have to actually take into account, however, that that guy was born on Mars. He was under 50 years old. So he has not known anything about synthetics. He's coming from a complete propaganda standpoint where they're telling him one thing and he's witnessing something completely different.
Well, he's not witnessing it from the dad, any sort of loviness or anything, telling you that now.
It happens a lot to like a certain percentage. That's why they try to do like basic training before you ever get to another country to wipe. And they're like, why do you do that and break people down like that? Mm-hmm. It's so they just react and they don't think, because if they see a child, they will stop. Mm-hmm. But if you just break somebody down to where they're just pulling a trigger and they're not thinking about it, they don't register it as a child. They just register it as that's something that's moving. Then they don't have any kind of emotional attachment. So this is that, I think, like 5% guy, that soldier that didn't have it wiped out completely. But yeah, I thought it was, he did seem to be fairly advanced though, to be able to know, just slit this way to jump start your other, I didn't know how to do that
if you've never seen a synth. I get that she
but
needs
they had to learn everything about them, but somehow he doesn't know anything about them.
Yeah, he didn't realize it's that like there was families or children, but he knew that you could be an additional power source for your wife or whatever.
I really didn't get why they just wiped all their memories, though. I don't know. It's just that was like the only thing.
From a human standpoint, if you could go back and erase all of the memories, if you had to live through this horrible civil war, would you want to erase memories of that if you could, and just leave a few designated people as like, hey, remind us in case this comes up again. Otherwise, we're gonna blissfully forget.
It's that eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Yeah. Where do you want to erase those memories?
Yeah,
yeah, and to go back to the point, I mean, Miles offered to fix her. Not out of kindness, but because they were about to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point.
He was pointing a gun at him.
They were like, he was like, wait, I can save her.
Yeah.
So he was appealing to Peter because he knew Peter had a connection with her, and that Peter evidently had a rapport with, you know, Mike Coulter's character to stop them. So, you know, I think that's...
I think, you know, you make a good point. I think just in the same way that when... Peter kind of passes out or whatever.
Yeah.
When he's charging up his wife and he does wake up and go, why didn't you kill me? Yeah. Or whatever. I just sort of felt like, because they left that dude alone with them.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds flat. It was like, oh, okay, bye. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Good luck, guys. Train's going to leave soon. Kind of a thing. And I was like, but I mean, for him to really like follow through on it, I guess that's where my surprise was. But maybe I'm just dead inside. And I just hate Peter so much that I'm like, I'd kill him.
I kind of liked Michael Peña in this. Maybe because it was such a different. I'm so used to seeing him doing that almost a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And although I love that character, it was nice to see him do something different.
It was, and I think even though there were definite problems with the movie, I felt like I really thought about it for a minute afterwards.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible.
No.
And I understand, you know, they left it very open-ended. There's no real end to this.
There's just totally a sequel opportunity.
Sequel opportunity or series opportunity if this does well. I don't think
the way most movies are made these days.
I don't think it's getting enough good reviews for Netflix.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes has got it like 14%.
Yeah.
So, but Starnslord, we have said a lot.
Yes.
Us four women against you.
Oh, me. Okay.
What would you like to say about the movie?
Oh, I would just say, so there's yet a vastly more horrible movie on Netflix right now that came out before this. This Is How It Ends, I think is it's called.
With, oh, yeah. I almost started that Forrest one Whitaker. After this one.
That's 2 hours, and it's, Tiffany, you, this is, it was an hour and 59 minutes too long, that movie. It is absolutely...
Thank you for not picking that, Carol.
There are no resolutions. There are stupid progressions of in a very short amount of time where the whole society collapses in a matter of 3 days. It's just a stupid movie. So this movie, to me, got elevated. Maybe to a C, where I normally probably would have gave it a D, but this is just kind of a C movie.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of movies on Hulu and Amazon. This is older movies, like from the 90s. I watched the... It's really horrible, but this movie kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Is The Arrival with Charlie Sheen?
Oh, with Charlie Sheen. With not Charlie Arrival, Sheen. The yeah. Arrival.
That's why I said.
By yeah, the guy who wrote Arrival wrote this movie.
Really?
Just as a side note, yeah.
Oh, this is wrote The Arrival.
Yeah.
From the 90s, but
no, Arrival.
Arrival.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's just
we're talking about The Arrival, where
Charlie Sheen
plays somebody who on a computer gets messages.
No, I know. I just was saying, just as a side note.
Just as a side note, that's not the movie we're talking about.
Not to confuse listeners.
I loved Arrival. Love that movie, yeah. So anyway, I think Netflix is kind of this weird thing where they have some really good hits, and then this is a couple kind of duds in a row. I mean, this movie's okay to me. I would give it kind of a C.
I would give it a C. I didn't hate it.
Nah.
I did kind of see the twist coming from... But I watch a lot of Black Mirror and shows that have a lot of twists in them. Yeah. So I was kind of anticipating something.
So you had your O. Henry moment.
Yeah. I was like, okay. But it doesn't bother me all that much if I guess a twist. I didn't necessarily see
the twist. I thought it was going to be that, like, well, we've expanded so much as humans that maybe Earth was an old colony and humans developed other worlds and now they were attacking Earth trying to take it over. I wasn't quite sure where they were going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I didn't know what the twist was going to be.
Yeah, I didn't know. I did not guess robots. I thought it was just going to be other humans from outer space.
Yeah, or I thought it was going to be a Poe Dameron moment where it was like, oh, I'm a stormtrooper, but I want to be a good guy. So yeah, take me, Poe. So anyway. Yeah.
I will say there's been a lot of comic books that have had the same exact premise. And I'm sure a lot of sci-fi novels as well, where it's like, oh, you're not even the real, you're actually the invader. They're the good guys or whatever.
I mean, it's Blade Runner. It's, you know, I mean, it's a lot of those movies where like they don't know that they're the other thing. So, so grade, you said C. Mm-hmm. Carol, C. Also C.
I'd probably go with C too. I like the overall storyline and everything, but it did have a lot of its problems.
Yeah, so. And I'm assuming F from you.
I'm going to give it a D minus because I thought Michael Coulter looked great in those khakis.
Oh my gosh!
D minus.
Yeah, I'll give it a C. Maybe a C plus if I'm feeling generous. I actually didn't mind Michael Pena at all. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I will say this. It inspired me to watch other things with him.
Yeah.
Please give us feedback about that because I'm like, Ant-Man, amazing. This, I'm like, oh my God, why is he after? So please give us feedback.
So we're at that 30-minute mark, but let's go ahead. Any movies that we want to give a 2-minute review to? I watched Mamma Mia. The original from 2008.
Why?
Very good.
Because it was 2:00 in the morning and I was awake. So
yeah, well, Pierce Brosnan's singing will keep you awake for another 24 hours.
I didn't mind it, but I was like definitely looking at IMDb to find out if anybody did voiceovers, but evidently nobody did.
No.
I thought it wasn't a good plot, but it was a lot of fun to watch at 2:00 in the morning. So
I like the original Mamma Mia. I haven't seen the new one yet, so I can't.
I haven't either. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I was like, oh, okay, I've seen it now. I can't cross it off my list.
Just to show how young my roommate is, she had no idea that ABBA was a group. She thought Mamma Mia, that the songs were written specifically for that movie.
Oh my God. And I'm
like, oh no, those are all ABBA songs. And she's like, what's an ABBA?
I didn't know that until a few months ago.
Oh, my God.
And we liked you so much, Jessica.
Sorry. Probably the youngest person in the room.
So
it's okay.
I'm only 18.
In your mind.
So I saw Mission Impossible Fallout, which is, if you like Mission Impossible movies, this is a very good Mission Impossible movie. It's not quite Ghost Protocol, which is still my favorite. Lots of really pretty action scenes, incredible stunts. I'm seriously, I was like, how did you do that with the helicopter? Tiffany, you'll be very happy to know that Henry Cavill looks very good in this movie.
I mean, whatever, of course. Of course.
It's always fun to see how they shoot Tom Cruise to make him look taller.
Yeah. Was Henry Cavill's mustache worth it?
It was so silly. It's like it doesn't even look real.
I'm about it. Whatever. We can have one, not have one.
But I recommend it. I highly recommend it. I also want to throw kudos out to Filmstruck, who last week did a double feature of The Seventh Seal, the Ingmar Bergman film, and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh, perfect.
Because I was like, okay, that is inspired.
That's very cool.
Jessica, have you seen any movies lately that you want to give a shout out to?
Sure. I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, so awesome movie, but you guys have already reviewed that one.
That's okay.
And I've also recently introduced my boyfriend to The Princess Bride. Like we made we decided to sit down and like make a list of like our top five movies that we haven't seen.
Oh,
the other one hasn't seen yet, and he hadn't seen that one, so I was like, that one's first.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah,
he's like, I now understand all these memes about Inigo Montoya, and I was like, it's been around forever and you've never seen it, but you see all this stuff about it referenced everywhere.
Yeah,
so it's like aha moment for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I always feel like when you start a new relationship, not that I'm planning to start one, don't be worried. But yeah, there's that total moment where it's like, okay, if you want to understand half of the reference that come out of my mouth, these are the three or five movies you have to watch. So
yeah, so luckily he has seen most of the movies that I was able to come up with, but I was like, all right, there are enough where it was hard enough to like go, which ones to pick?
Yeah.
I've still got like, all right, if we get through these five, I've got these like five more.
Yeah.
That you really need to watch.
Well, because it's like, I do a lot of Harry Potter references, like Alas Earwax. I do that one all the time. And then Princess Bride. But then there's also Anti-Mame, which is a Rosalind Russell movie. But you have to watch it at least once. And Empire Records. It's like...
Right. Yeah. I'm all about the Monty Python references.
Yeah, and then Monty Python. But it's like, you know, those are the ones that most people... Like, Monty Python, usually any guy I date for any long period of time has watched some of those, or else why are we together? But, like, the Anti-Mame and the Anti-Mame and the Empire... Anti-Mame. Now I've started a new reboot. Anti-Mame and Empire Records. People might not have watched
White
them,
Christmas. So.
Yeah. White Christmas is essential, because even if you hang around long enough, we are going to watch it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. You've seen a movie.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen anything else?
I haven't really seen anything theatrically since Ant-Man, but we were talking about movies on like these streaming platforms, and it's a terrible sort of review when you can't remember the name of either of them. But I do think that, you know, maybe their strength isn't sci-fi based on the movie you mentioned, and then of course this abysmal piece of shit. But
tell us how you really feel.
The opinions expressed by
right. But I did watch a couple of comedies on there that I actually thought were really cute. One had Taye Diggs and Lucy Liu, and they're both like workaholics, and their assistants plot to set them up because they are working too much. And I mean, it's a typical romantic comedy, but I found it really, really enjoyable and fun. Mm. And then
set it up
like that. Yeah, exactly. And there was a movie with it's one of the guys from Pitch Perfect, the one that like joined the other boy band at one point. I don't know. Anyway, so he's from there, and it's like he's in love with his best friend.
I watched that, yeah.
And I actually thought that was a really cute movie.
I didn't think I was gonna like it, but I'm a sucker for time travel stuff, and even though that's not the main point of it, still it was good. Yeah,
yeah. I really enjoyed it. So I mean, there are some good things to find sometimes.
Can I throw one more out since we're talking Netflix?
No.
After Matt gets a chance,
let Matt get his chance first, though.
No, go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So, Cargo, which stars Martin Freeman, it's an expansion of a short film called Cargo.
Yeah.
But yeah, bring tissues with this one. He plays a father of a toddler who, in the zombie apocalypse, his wife is bitten, and he is bitten, and he has about 24 hours to get his little girl somewhere safe before he completely turns.
Hmm.
So, and he's in the outback of Australia. So
that's not helpful at all.
No, not at all.
Wow.
But it is actually really good, and of course it's got Martin Freeman in it.
What was the Schwarzenegger thing where his daughter was a zombie?
Maggie.
That one
is actually really good.
Yeah, he's actually good at it.
He's actually really good in it too, where his daughter is bitten and he's trying not to
kill her.
He's trying to keep her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually a really good film if you like zombie films.
That's good deal. I watched an older movie, About Time. It's another time travel movie, but absolutely love this movie. I think it was out 8 years ago, maybe, or so. Same guy who did Notting, the director and creator of Notting Hill and Love Actually and those type of things. But that was really good. And then actually Friday, so if you haven't been keeping up with MoviePass, they're having some funding issues. So I went at Friday, 10 a.m., and I was like, I'm going to go get my free movie. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm going to pay $5.75 for this movie. But it was Gus Van Sant's Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot.
Yeah.
And Joaquin Phoenix is the main draw, I guess, or star. But a really good movie based on the life of John Callahan, guy who was a horrible alcoholic in his 20s, becomes a quadriplegic, and then becomes this fantastic cartoonist, social cartoonist. So.
I kind of want to see that one.
It's excellent. But yeah, definitely give that one a...
All right. So, sure. Extinction, not the best, but we give you a couple other ones that you can go watch.
Yeah.
Both on Netflix and currently at the theater. So, Jessica, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you want to know about fun stuff with swords, check out swordwind.org, which I'm saying so much better than the other episode, but you should still go back and listen to it. And you'll join us again at the Muggles Market in November.
Absolutely.
So, yay! Next week we will be, talking about some more stuff. So you should come back. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh,
bye.
We'll support us on Patreon.
Bye, guys.
Oh, yeah. Support us on Patreon, please.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.